meeting this afternoon. I think we're in for a huge treat this afternoon for hearing about the shared housing project that we've been working on, that Bob has been leading as our commission chair on that group. So thank you again for attending, and so I would like to call the meeting to order. And I would like to have an approval of the agenda. Could I get a motion for that in a second, please?
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? If not, all saying aye to approve, please.
Aye.
Okay, I'd like to have an approval of the minutes dated June 18th and August 20th, please, in a second.
So.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, were there any discussion, any additions, changes? If not, please say aye for approval.
Aye.
Thank you. The chair report is very limited this year, this month. We were extremely busy in July and August. August was our commission retreat, and we went through and prioritized and set some of the things for accomplishments through this next 2013-2014 year for us. And so we had a very productive retreat for our commission members. It was led by facilitator Gary Hadd, who helped us to walk through the programs that we have and how to successfully implement them within our committees and as a commission. We also had a lot of different things that we did throughout the months as far as awareness about the Clark County Commission on Aging, and it was very beneficial. We also talked about some of the programs that you're going to hear about this afternoon with time banking, telehealth, shared housing, and universal green design. And so I'm very proud of the commission members and their committee members that make up those committees within our groups for some of the hard work that they've done. So that's the chair report for us. So we're ahead of schedule by 3 minutes. Aren't we excited about that? So project updates. One of the other things I will share about the chair, since I have 3 minutes, is again, we are doing a work session prior to our commission meetings. Those begin at 3:30 in the afternoon and will continue to 4:20. It's an opportunity for us to get a little more in-depth discussion about what the projects we are and to set some planning standards and ideas for the future. So Randy, would you like to tell us about telehealth and your upcoming conference?
I should be pretty good at this by now.
You should be, absolutely.
Yes, we're really looking forward to the telehealth conference, October 2nd, morning one from 8 o'clock until noon at Peace Health Medical Center. The commission members have heard this before, so I'll kind of address my comments more to the citizens in the audience. This conference has a great panel of 5 speakers. I'm very proud of the credibility and the expertise that they bring to the table. I have discussed with them thoroughly what they will be presenting, and it's not going to be a bunch of fluff. It's going to be very detailed information. So I encourage any citizen in Southwest Washington who simply might want to learn about telehealth and telemedicine, as far as a medical perspective, a healthcare perspective, a quality of life perspective, technology perspective. We're going to talk about reimbursement and some of the regulatory problems. So it's going to be a very comprehensive morning. So if you're just a citizen that's interested, please join us. It's free. We ask you to go to the Commission on Aging website. Makes it very easy. You can just click right on it. Gives a good description of it. The flyer is online. You can read it or print it out. You can register. Again, it's no cost, but we would appreciate it if you intend to go to register. We have 50 people registered so far. We have capacity for 200 people. We hope to fill the room. And if you are, again, an interested citizen, or if you are in the healthcare profession, either as a provider, a physician, maybe a clinic executive or manager, office manager. Please consider joining as social workers. We're going to have a lot of social workers, people from that profession will be there and will benefit from it. And again, it's October 2nd.
And did you mention that it's free?
I did. But I mentioned it.
Good.
Great price.
It is a great price on that. I would emphasize there are some flyers back at the back that have the information there, but Randy's done an excellent job of putting together the speakers for that, and they're from a wide range of programs, from OHSU, from Inland Northwest Health Systems, from Welcome Home Health, David Kelly, the Executive Director of Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities, Tracy from a Research Associate for Oregon Center for Aging and Technology, and Randy himself. So again, I would encourage anyone that has acquaintances or anyone that you know that might be interested in the telehealth, telemedicine concept to please sign up for that. We have 150 more slots to fill, and we would love to do that with our citizens that we have within the counties. So thank you so much. Okay. Our next presentation on a project will be time banking, and that will be Kathy, whose group has been working on that pretty diligently for the last 6 months or so. So, Kathy.
Well, volunteer time banking, we're looking at programs that are both international and national to see if this is something that would be feasible for the Clark County area. Time banking is a concept where people give of their time as volunteers and then bank that time so people can then return time to them to do other activities. I think a good example of this, especially when we're talking about the senior community, is somebody like is taking care of her mother, like myself, might be able to spend, you know, time in school working with children, and I bank that time. And then rather than me going and taking my mother out shopping or taking her to lunch or just visiting with her, I can have another volunteer come in and do that for me. And it doesn't have to even be a direct me, you know, getting rewarded from another volunteer. You can just put it into this bank and then you can draw from all kinds of people with all kinds of experience. So we definitely want to make it an intergenerational program, but we also want to see how that can focus at helping population, and especially if you're retiring, you might not have a lot of money to be able to pay people to come there and do things for them. There's just, you know, a lot of uses for a program like this. So right now what we've been doing is we do have a committee that's broken down into subcommittees that's working on a feasibility plan that we hope to have pretty much heavily outlined by the end of the year. So we can look at seeing how we can go forward with this in 2014. So that's what we're doing right now.
And I would like to thank Kathy and her group for working on that project for us and really spending a lot of time. I'm on one of the subcommittees, and I can tell you that the more I look into time banking, the more excited I am about the prospect that we're going to be able to have that within Clark County. So I'm very thankful that you are spearheading that idea for us. So thank you. Chuck, would you like to talk a little bit about Universal Green Design?
Well, sure.
I want a microphone.
Oh, I guess so. I always figure I can talk loud enough. Well, we have Colette Anderson just handed me a 70% draft for what we're going to be proposing, the direction we want to be going in the county for Universal Green Design. And Jim Wilson, my right-hand person, has been chasing a number of different leads as far as where we want to be. What we really want to do is affect change by code. And the only way that we can really do that is through the National Code Compliance Council and the ICC. And it's really been tricky chasing those folks down. They're I work for the big government. These guys are worse than us. We're trying to track somebody down just to talk to. And so it's been very interesting.
And what does ICC stand for?
International
Code Conference.
Council. Council. International Code Council.
Okay.
Yes. And so I guess I got that wrong first, didn't I?
I don't know, because we couldn't figure it out earlier in the group what it stood for, so I was hoping you knew.
If you work for the government, you talk fast and nobody can figure it out. Except for other government people. But it's been really interesting trying to get to the source that we really need to talk to as far as how for how we're going to move forward with where we're at right now. Then we have a document that's about 70% done. We know exactly what we want to do and how we want to do it, but the next step for us to take is how do we put that into code? Now then, we can affect code here in the county, but we would really like to start working at trying to affect code not only here in the county, but state, and maybe even nationally. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Great. And one of the clarifications that I found during the work group is that actually the ICC is the overriding body that recommends the code changes, and then the states pass those, and then the counties pass those. So that's probably a good step that you guys are taking to create change on the national level, and thus having the state and county come in. So I think that will be a very good opportunity for us to have some input on the national level for Clark County. So I appreciate that, John. Thank you. Okay, our next person that will be talking will be Bob about Let's Share Housing. And then after that, we'll introduce our guest speakers on Share Housing to present to the commission and to the public regarding their program that they're launching off here in Clark County that we're very excited about. So, Bob.
Do you want me to carry through with the introductions?
Absolutely.
Okay. As you know, the Housing Committee has been working for most of this year to establish a shared housing program in Clark County. To achieve that goal, the Portland Area Shared Housing Program has agreed to extend their program to Clark County. To date, we have worked out the details of their business plan, and if acceptable, we hope to kick off the program sometime in 2014. The next step is to conduct a community awareness effort regarding this new and upcoming program, and to especially share the workings of the program with many local social services agencies, client and membership organizations as possible. Our view is that with the large number of upcoming retirees some resources from Social Security and pension, but really not enough for home ownership or apartment rental, and also whose resources are too high for subsidized housing, this shared program will save the day for many retirees who would otherwise become homeless, maybe become homeless, and living on the streets, maybe, and under the bridges, maybe. And we don't want to have that. So let me introduce the two from Portland that are going to give us a little program today, Michelle Fiasco and Zoe Morrison. They're the managers of the Portland Shared Housing Program, and they're going to share with us today their vision of shared housing here in Clark County. So ladies, the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be starting, and I just wanted to say thank you so much to the Commission for inviting us to present today. We're really excited about our shared housing program, and also want to acknowledge you for the forward thinking you're doing here in Clark County. I'm very impressed. I want to say thank you to the people who have come to the audience, the public, interested in learning more about shared housing. So to start with, I thought I would just talk a little for a moment about how we got started with shared housing. 16 years ago, I started a company in Portland called Adult Placement Network. And what I do is I help families find appropriate care settings for their aging parents, much like Kathy does up here in Vancouver. And what I found through the 16 years of doing placement, that there's a niche of people who fall through the floor in not being able to really be able to afford the kind of housing that I represent. However, the complicating situation is that they also don't have care needs, so they can't get any kind of Medicaid dollars to help them with long-term care housing needs. So what happened was in 2010, we launched a website called Let's Share Housing as a do-it-yourself tool where homeowners could find potential house seekers and they could match themselves up. Well, what we found was we weren't getting as much traction as we were hoping for on the website, just as it was. So we thought we'd start doing what's called meetups, where we would actually have face-to-face meetings with people who were interested in shared housing so they get a chance to meet each other in person and also learn a little bit more about what shared housing was. And that was a step in the right direction, but we still saw that people needed more guidance and education, because there are certain things that stop people when it comes to shared housing, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But so what happened was, it's been just about a year ago now, we got an email, I think, from Colette, maybe, who said, hey, we saw your shared housing website, or maybe it was Bob, I'm not sure, but we were invited up to Clark County to participate in a meeting last November where we had a lot of the people from the county as well as Bob, and we talked about the idea of shared housing. Everybody thought it seemed like a pretty good idea to pursue. So since then, we've been working diligently with Bob and Colette, meeting from time to time to sort of lay out our timeline and what we're planning to do, and that's why we're here today to tell you more about that. So before I get started, let's start by defining what is shared housing, so everybody understands. The definition that we're using in this case is two or more unrelated people sharing a home together. Now, those people can consist of a homeowner who's seeking a housemate or housemates, or it could be a group of people who decide they want to rent a home together. But the purpose of the Let's Share Housing program is to actually educate people and give them the tools that they need to be as successful as possible when they go to proceed with a shared housing situation. So who does shared housing? We don't limit shared housing to any particular group or age group. We figure whoever, I mean, if somebody wants to do multi-generational household, that's great. But the obvious need here is the boomers coming along. We actually have really a national crisis going on here with 10,000 people turning 65 every day for the next 18 years, which is 179 million people. And so we really need to be thinking about what's going to be happening in the future. According to the U.S. Council of Economic Advisors, and this was published in 1999, boomers' retirement savings have been dwindling steadily since 1985. And now with the recent recession that we've had, there's a significant portion of the population that has no savings at all. So we're facing the largest rich-poor gap in recent history, and we need some creative answers. So up here on the screen, you'll see a group of us. This is one of our recent meetups here in Port Vancouver in July. We did a little potluck, and everybody kind of talked about why they did shared housing. So Barb is doing shared housing because she's on a fixed income. And Dick and his wife, Andrea, want to do shared housing and live in a green lifestyle and have organic gardens and live with vegetarians. And Don lost his work when the recession happened, so he'd like to trade housing for a reduced rental rate per month. And Mia is a traveler, and she loves having the idea of having that nest, but she also likes the idea of being able to save money by doing shared housing so that she can finance her travels. And Zoe found herself in a little more practical situation with the breakup of a relationship and needing to share housing to make ends meet. And Barbara had recently lost her husband and is like wanting to share the large home she has here in Washington. Laura is a do-gooder and she loves to help, would love to find a senior that she could maybe drive to the grocery store or just make sure there's somebody around. And this is me with my daughter Bella. And I live in a shared housing situation, and house mates are great to have when you have pets, because then you know that the pets are always looked after when you're not there. And this is Julius, who is a 90-something-year-old gentleman who just got tired of eating by himself and spending all the time alone in his house. He was looking for some companionship. So these are some of the people that are looking into shared housing. So you can see there's a lot of different reasons people might want to share housing. So what are the benefits of shared housing? So obviously the one that people think of right off the bat is the affordability factor. You know, that's the thing people usually think of. Right here in Clark County, coming a little closer to home, over two-thirds of seniors age 65 and above are spending 30% or more of their monthly income on rent. And over 7% of them are living under the poverty line. And this is an interesting statistic. According to the 2013 Elder Economic Security Standard in Clark County, the average cost for a one-bedroom apartment, including utilities, taxes, and insurance, is $1,340 a month. So there's a lot of people out there that can't afford that. And it would be a lot more attractive to be able to share a home and maybe pay $400 or $500 a month. Your money would go much further. So some of the other benefits, it increases a sense of safety and security so that if you know that you're living with people, if there was ever an emergency or an accident that might happen, you have eyes on you. There's people watching, you know. You have access to making sure that you didn't maybe have a fall and not be able to get up or something like that. Obviously, it saves the government the cost of building enough affordable housing for the people who are coming down the pike is going to be insurmountable. So with shared housing, you actually have using a housing stock that's already there doesn't cost anything. People can become more proactive in choosing their compatible housemates to create a situation where they can actually age in place together. If you ever would need a caregiver or maybe somebody to come in and cook and clean, you can go together and hire that person, and it's a fraction of what it would cost to do it on your own. So, and the last benefit is about encouraging healthy social relationships. And so,
Andrew Weil said that isolation is fatal. And it's now been tested by science, especially a group in Chicago. They came out with studies on loneliness and found that if someone perceives that they're lonely, even if they are actually lonely, but they feel isolated, it's the equivalent risk on your brain's health as if you were a heavy smoker or if you were obese. In fact, one of the studies recently showed that your risk of Alzheimer's doubles if you feel like you're isolated. Shared housing is just the opposite. When you're working with shared housing, we see that as a brain health intervention, which will actually someday be tested and proven to lower your risk of Alzheimer's because you're engaging with others. Theories that we talk about concerning the engagement theory of brain health are the next wave of cognitive interventions.
And that segment was done by Roger Anionson, who's a nationally recognized leader in the education of brain health and cognitive fitness. So, and also I wanted to let you know there's 25% of people 65 years of age and older in the state of Washington that live alone. So we're talking about 25% here. So the website. website, we developed the website as a tool for people to communicate confidentially. And there's really three things I want to say about that. First of all, we wanted to have an in-depth assessment. I don't think we're going to be able to do the website today, is that right? Yeah. One of the things that we wanted to develop was an in-depth questionnaire to help people match their interests and lifestyle choices. We figured the more detail in the website, this is the one that we created in 2010, the more effective and efficient the process of finding the right matches would be. So for example, if a person was allergic to animals, they wouldn't want to be running a room in a house that had pets. Or, you know, if somebody was a smoker and maybe the homeowner didn't want smokers, that kind of thing. Those are the obvious ones, but we ask all kinds of questions. The site can be confidential so that people can message back and forth and remain anonymous and feel that they can choose when they want to meet somebody. And then we also encourage photos on the home and so forth, so that, and the people, because a picture's worth a thousand words. So those are the pieces that I want to talk about, the communication on the website.
So one of the things that we found when we were doing meetups and just meeting people face-to-face, that there were a lot of questions that we needed to help people answer, including, what do I do with all of my extra stuff? You know, we have people who have homes that are filled with things, but not with other people, and they're isolated. So we thought that we'd put together a series of workshops that would help lead people through the process of winnowing out their things and making space for extra people. The potential housemate question, are they responsible and honest? We encourage people to do a lot of interviewing, pre-interviewing questions, and then we're going to lead them through the process of interviewing, and we have licensed clinical social workers and mediators who can help people drive their interviewing process and actually help them. And these are our support partners who have volunteered their time to let's share housing. And they're also going to help people when they come across problems where they might have some sort of disagreements. The anticipation is that people would develop a strategy before they go into shared housing where they would actually have a covenant that they create, and the mediators will help them develop a tool for individual users and individual home sharers who can then use that tool so that they know, this is how I relate to you. This is how you're going to relate to me. These are the things that are the deal breakers and the deal makers. And so we have tools and people who are going to support people all through their path of shared housing. Protecting your belongings, and if it's in a housing arrangement that doesn't work and they need legal advice, we do have the ability for people to participate in the Legal Shield process, which is a low-cost alternative to regular attorney fees. And the site's designed to give users the tools and the resources they need to create their community through shared housing. And the website address, even though it's not on here, is letsharehousing.com. And I don't know, can we pull that up? The landing page where people would go to when they go in. And it's a free website that people can go in and they can create a profile. And on the profile, we lead people through the process. But let's say there were a homeowner that was looking for a housemate, they would actually go up here to this tab that says Search Housemates. And they can do this and look through the offerings that are available, like as we speak, without being registered on the site. And then if they want to contact other people, they can contact them confidentially. So what happens is people will go onto the site and they'll begin to fill out their profile. And it basically leads them through the process of answering some questions. Here's a woman, we're just going to use her for an example. She's a female, 60 to 70, and she's looking to rent in Multnomah County, and she wants to do some caregiving. And it goes all through the process of what she can afford, and vice versa. If a person is a homeowner, they would also be able to list their home. Is it a single family, single level home? Is it multiple levels? Do they have a garden, et cetera, et cetera? And as the site gets more and more developed, there'll be things like this video. This is a video. This woman's really lovely, Holly Wells. She actually provides profile advice starting out on the home page. And so we also have a Facebook page that will let people communicate as in a forum. So I'm not going to go all the way through that right now, but I thought you might want to see a little bit about the site. And if you have questions, we'll certainly can answer them afterwards. And so we consider shared housing a way to cultivate community home by home. We believe that people, we've kind of lost a little bit of the sight with community, and we want people to rebuild community from a grassroots sort of a level. And this is a very powerful way to do that. So during the workshops, we're going to offer four sessions beginning in next year. And there'll be an introductory session that'll let people create a personal assessment to determine, are they a good fit for shared housing? Because we know not everyone is going to be a good fit for shared housing, but there are a lot of people who will be a good fit. And so we'll have a curriculum that has four sessions that will help users, the seekers, and the providers prepare for successful shared housing. And the first session will let people know what is shared housing, who shares housing, and why they do. And there'll be a personality profile to help people kind of determine, are they a good fit for shared housing, and what are some of the processes they can use in order to make those kind of decisions. And of course, there's going to be pitfalls in any sort of situation, so we want to let people be aware that there can be potential problems, but we also want to give them the tools so that they can resolve those as soon as they possibly can. And we'll be using some of our support resources either through video, or we may try to Skype in with them so that people can be interacting with our folks, including Roger Anionson from MindRamp, Hannah Onler, who is with Villages Northwest. If you're not familiar with the Villages to Villages movement, you may want to check that out because it's a very good support network as well. And Villages Northwest is pretty much a natural partner for us. People like Rachel Mallaire, she's a woman who helps with senior specific needs, and she offers support services in every realm and aspect of real estate and beyond. And our second session will allow people to complete their profile and talk about who are they and who likes you up. This is a way for people to begin to fill out a profile that's very thought-provoking and will invite other users to interact with them. One of the things that we found on our website, people may often go onto the site and start to fill out a profile, but they're not being very deep or in-depth. They're giving just really basic information, but there's lots of ways to promote what they have available and who they are as a person. So we're trying to give them the tools they need so that they can increase their interaction rate with other people. And then we have folks who are downsizing experts, people who can help people organize and actually make way for getting ready for shared housing. And we have a couple of folks who have been kind enough to offer to be case examples of what their lives were like when they had a lot of stuff and what happened in their lives when they got rid of things. And we'll use our mediators to help us keep the peace and give them people the tools for success and communication. And these are some of the folks who will be helping us. Jane Green from A Clear Place, Matthew Cronin, who's from Genesis Mediation, and Holly Wells, who's from Common Ground Mediation. We have quite a few resources who are going to support the shared housing folks who are participating in order to create successful home matches. In our third session, we're going to cover the nitty-gritty, including the legal and the insurance and the safety factor. We don't want people coming into a home that's cluttered. We don't want people coming into a home that doesn't have insurance. We want to make sure that everyone, including the home seeker and the homeowner, has insurance, including renter's insurance, so that when people go through the process, they are actually ensuring that everyone's kind of on a level playing field. And we also have another resource that's going to be available as far as criminal history background checks. These are some of our folks who are going to be helping as well and supporting other. And I created a flyer that I did put on the back table that had these resource folks and contact information if anyone wanted to learn a little bit more about them. We're going to be using a company called VicTig, and this company is also used nationwide by Villages to Villages. And the providers and seekers, we're recommending that they do have the background check done. It's a very low-cost fee. They'll go through our website to get to this site and have their background checked. And for $24.95, users will be able to do a criminal history, a financial background, and an eviction report. And those documents are kept confidentially on site by us, and people will be given a scoring system because we're not allowed to share the actual full financial report, but we can provide a sharing system for people. And one of the due diligence that we always recommend when we meet with people about shared housing is the ability to do a trial period. We're recommending that people, when they choose to do shared housing, after they've interviewed one another and felt comfortable with who each other are and they decide that they want to try shared housing, we recommend that the seeker does and the homeowner do a two-week trial period in order to find out if it's going to work out. Because by then you're going to learn, you know, I don't like it when you clip your nails in front of me. You know, I don't like it when you leave dishes in the sink. And, you know, we can or cannot agree about how we're going to resolve it. So a two-week trial period is always recommended before anybody moves in, like, lock, stock, and barrel. These are some of our support people. You did see Roger a little bit earlier talking about Mind Ramp, talking about how people are staying healthier and engaged. So these are the folks you saw photos of just a few minutes ago, and I thought you might want to page. And I'm actually going to post this, the entire PowerPoint presentation, on our website, and it'll be available for people to go back through and watch. And I'll actually probably plug in a couple more resource videos as well. And these are some of the tools that we have used in the past to help people cultivate community home by home, including the resource. There's a shared housing resource guide that is like just phenomenal, that was put together by the Affordable Living for the Aging in Los Angeles. And I can provide you a link to that. It's a resource guide. It's 44 pages, just incredible. We have a lot and lots of tools for people to use in order to create successful shared housing and to learn more. The website address. If you need to email us, you can always contact us by email at info@letsharedhousing.com. And you've met Michelle, here's her number, and that will be available for you so you can ask more questions if you have questions. Here's my number, and that also will be available to you.
Thank you for that excellent presentation and providing us with the tools necessary to do shared housing in Clark County. what a benefit and an asset to our community. I would like to open it up for questions from any of the commission members regarding the program.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, I'm curious to know how you launched the program in Portland in terms of getting the information out to the general public. And number two, I'm wondering if you have found that being a web-based program is a barrier to older seniors. I mean, seniors are, what, 55 to 100 plus, and the 55-year-olds are certainly computer literate. Do you find any kind of a barrier there with the older people?
So we haven't really launched the training program in Portland. This would actually be our pilot project up here. So if that answers that question. In terms of the internet, yes, it can be a barrier. One of the things that we have done is recently Elders in Action in the Portland area has stepped up to help our home seekers who may not have the technological skills to navigate the website, to teach them how. And not just help them fill out their profile, but help them learn to go back and do the messaging, you know, the confidential messaging, to check their emails and so that they can stay up with what's going on. So that's been a great service. So, and then in addition, we're seeing that, you know, this component of having the hands-on, boots-on-the-ground training is going to be helping people who may not have those skills. One of the things we thought in one of the workshops is we'll say, okay, so all the people who are computer savvy go over there, and all the people who aren't can go over here, and then maybe you could match yourselves up and even do some coaching between classes. Gets people the opportunity to meet each other.
Well, it is a networking component involved with workshops, along with when we launched, we were web-based, but then we did go into the meetups and we put the word out that we're having meetups that allow people to come and meet one another, whether they're a provider or a seeker. And we've also started like collaborating with Village to Village. And so when they have an event that goes on, then we try to tag along and be present. We do a lot of tabling at other events where we let people know this is what we have. And we're definitely looking for a way to reach more out to the community overall, to let people know we're this great resource. It's just us, you know, so we're working on it. We're working on all the kinks and trying to get it all to fit together.
Thank you so much. You've presented us with a ton of information.
I'm making an assumption that some of the social service agencies, when the folks come in and say, I got a housing problem, and then the caseworker will assist that person get on the internet and get registered using their equipment. I'm making an assumption that the social workers will perform that task, and I think they will. It's an appropriate task. It's one that a social worker would do, a case manager would do, to assist their client in getting the services they need.
That is one of the things we talked about in our meetings with Colette and Bob, that we would actually do a training the trainer. So they would be the, you know, the county providers who provide services to citizens and being able to be on board and you know, steering people toward our program as well as assisting them in it.
So I have a few questions for you. One, how many people have you linked up in Portland?
We probably linked up about 50 or 60. The website that right now does not have a regular reporting mechanism, and we're getting ready to build that in so that we can actually track who's been successful and where they may fall out. You know, so
what did you do for liability insurance for you? Let's say something happens. You know, there's a million scenarios, and then you become part of a litigation because you hooked up this person through your services. Are you going to provide any kind of insurance or liability or? And then my last question is obviously you have to make money. I mean, you have to support yourselves. And I didn't see on the site, and I'll go and look, is what is the service that you offer? And do you, is it just a blank service for a year, you know, like dine out club, or you can visit the site a lot, or is it per, you know, so I just like a little clarity on that.
So, in terms of the liability insurance, yes, we are getting liability insurance. We have an insurance agent that's checking into that, same gentleman who's handling the renter's insurance and the homeowners, whoever might not have it. In terms of our monetizing our program, we have lots of different ideas. And the first one is going to be our criminal history background check costs us $14.95. We're charging $24. Our idea with monetizing is to charge small amounts from a lot of different sources so that there's not one large cost to any one person. We'll be charging for our workshops. We'll be likely charging the homeowner for getting an ongoing income stream. It's kind of the way Adult Placement Network works, is that when I do a placement, then the community that receives a new resident pays the agency a fee. So it'd be kind of like the same thing with Let's Share Housing. So those are a couple of ideas. We have all kinds of ideas.
So the person that's listing the house would be like an adult family home, and they will pay you a fee for bringing them?
I'm sorry, I was probably confusing there. I was doing an analogy. We're not going to be using adult family homes.
No, I know you're not. I'm just trying to compare that would be like the fee basis that you would use it for is, you know, because you said you were in the placement agency. So I guess my concern is what happens to someone that is homeless or on the edge of being homeless that can facilitate all of the workshops and the background check and, you know, that kind of thing. Is, are you going to have any kind of infrastructure or grants or whatever that are going to basically let these people pay, you know, pay their fee for them? And then how, you know, have you thought about that, or are you thinking?
We have thought about that. We've talked about it a little bit with Bob, and we've talked about some of the intake processes through some of the social service organizations that are here in Clark County, as helping to provide those sorts of supports for people who are seekers. We've also talked about, and we're putting into place a B Corp, so that we will be able to, as part of the company, will be a nonprofit, and the nonprofit will go out and seek grants, and the grants will provide scholarships in order to provide the additional support to people who need it, including the workshops. And we think that there's going to be a certain level of people, as we said, who may not be quite prepared yet for shared housing. They may need to go through some other sort of avenues or stream, and then, you know, they might get to a quote-unquote graduation level, and when they get to that level, then they would be able to then maybe consider shared housing once they, you know, kind of reach some plateaus. But we have not established what those plateaus are, but we do believe that there are a lot of resources within the metro Portland and Vancouver area as a whole who will help us support people who may feel challenged on some level, and we do anticipate grants and other sorts of income streams coming in that will help support that.
So are you going to register as a 501c3, or?
We're looking for a fiscal sponsor for that, so we're looking at a couple of different places that would allow us to do that. Yeah, we're working on that component right now.
And I want to add a piece in here regarding people who are homeless or close to it. One of the things that we find with shared housing, it really doesn't work as a quick fix, because people put themselves in situations that really are not necessarily a good match. And so we're really proponents of spending that time up front, making sure that you've done your due diligence so that you have every opportunity to be be successful on.
Thank you.
Kirsten?
Yeah, Lisa asked a lot of what I was looking at, and I'm just curious, I know you don't have the data in your website, but do you have just experiential data? I mean, just what's your read on how successful your matches are?
We don't really gather that sort of information at this point in time. You know, I'd love to be able to tell you that we have that really solid in front of us, but we don't.
So the
we just get feedback from people. You know, I've gone onto the site and it's worked for me and I found a perfect match. And, you know, I would say probably 25% of the folks who are on the site have reported back to us and said that they made successful matches, or they've come to the point where they've decided, you know, this was something I wanted to try, but this isn't a fit for me right now.
Okay.
We've got about 25% of our folks reporting back that. Just like through Facebook, you know, through phone calls, a variety of different ways that we gather that information.
All right. And then with the background checks, are those mandatory? And is that, are you screening clients before they get into, before they post?
We're not screening them beforehand, but once they come into the system, before they make their transition into the shared housing, you know, actually going into the system, it will be mandatory that they have a background check done.
Okay.
For both the homeowner and the home seeker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It sounds to me like you're in a startup phase.
Yeah.
Is that accurate to say? Do you have or do you foresee having competition?
Well, there is competition out there around the United States. I mean, there was the Ecumenical Ministries, but now they've closed their doors in the last few months. So in the local area, I'm not aware of any, but yeah, there's always that possibility of competition. I mean, we just found out about a woman in Washington, D.C. who's, you know, quite powerfully going after shared housing.
we don't locally really have any competition per se, except for like Craigslist, and that's really not a competitor for us. When we look at it in the broad stroke, a lot of people who are my age don't necessarily want to go out and couch surf. They may not want to be up 24/7. You know, like you do see a lot of people who are offering shared housing on Craigslist, but really that's pretty much our only competitor at this point in time.
So I just have one follow-up question. So you noted in your presentation that you have a document that you got from Southern California and then that's great, but do you know, and I know it's, understand it's a lot larger than demographics, but do you know, have you talked to them, is that what you've modeled your program off of? You know, do you know what their success rate is down in that area?
We do know what their success rate. Their success, they have, the folks in Southern California have been established for 25 years, and they have a very broad range, and they're 100% nonprofit, and their success rate is about 75%. The people who go into the program and also are participating and have successful shared housing matches. Some of those people continue through their program, and actually they may be moving towards needing more care. All of our folks we consider to be independent on most levels, and the folks that are in Southern California are moving into, they also have another component where they have housing that's available for people to go into and share together along with other support venues, so more like an adult, not an adult foster care home per se, but they're independent but not independent anymore. And so they have that component, which we do not have. We don't have that available, but yeah, about 75%, and we can provide you lots of resources. Yeah, shared housing is a, it happens all around the world and all around the country. There's some amazing programs that are out there.
Thank you. Do you have a sense of what the age is of the people in the Portland area who are using shared housing?
I'd say they're generally more women than men, age 50 to 75, would you say?
Yeah, about that.
People who are really it really is addressing the needs of boomers, young boomers.
It's mostly that. I mean, a lot of people, of course, who are much, much younger are sharing, but they're usually sharing with other people. You know, we have the ability through the website for, like, almost any sort of scenario that people might want to look at. If someone needed, like, a slight amount of care or just didn't want to do their grocery shopping or were cutting down on their transportation and they had transportation needs or someone to run errands, you know, they may want to invite someone in who's a little bit younger, has a little bit more like ability to get around and to support them and maybe get a reduced cost in their rent in order for providing a certain level of support.
And also, I noticed a lot of your resources, of course, are over in Portland. Are you thinking of expanding your resource list to include Clark County resources?
Yes. Yeah, and we would definitely welcome anybody that knows other people who are local that would like to be participatory in our workshops. We consider that to be, we're really open-minded about that.
I've been in healthcare for quite a while and have a lot of responsibility for vulnerable adults. And I know that increasingly, mainly because of demographics and the economy, there's a lot of people who prey on vulnerable adults. And I see that a situation like this would be susceptible to that. And so this is not really a question, it's more of a comment to you folks and to my fellow commissioners here. There are background checks, and then there are background checks. And I would want to know that it is a solid, comprehensive, in-depth background check. Because these guys are clever.
I don't know if Clark County offers any sort of other sort of background checks. Our background checks are nationwide. They go all across the nation. So it's not just local. It's not here, Portland, this is okay, and then if you're from Iowa, once you arrived here, it wasn't okay. Our checks are comprehensive. They go nationwide as far as the eviction, the financial, and the criminal history. But we do want people to continue to do their due diligence. If there's any sort of red flags that come up, you know, these are all the things that we are going to help people to identify. We recognize that we're not going to be able to take away all of the elements, but we want to eliminate through the process as many potential risks that there might be, because I've talked about this over and over again. You know, people are vulnerable, and we don't want to put them in a position where they're compromised in any way.
Something I wanted to add, the VICTIC organization is the one that the villages are using, as Zoe said. And the village movement is really about helping seniors and beyond stay in their own homes, in their own neighborhoods. So they are focusing on that demographics. They've had 12 years of experience and they use them, so we feel pretty confident.
On the question of competition, I would be very disappointed if this organization doesn't talk to the council on homeless and housing authority and begin to coordinate their activities, because they're all in the same ball game. They may be dealing with different client population, but I hope that I would be disappointed if you don't get together with those folks.
Well, I see the possibility of, at least in the Portland or Oregon area, you know, the Section 8 housing lists are closed, and you can't even get on those anymore. So there's
they are here as well.
That's the same way here.
Yeah, thinking that maybe this could be an answer for people while they're waiting their turn, you know, for their lottery number to come up. And then maybe at that point they'll say, hey, you know what, I really kind of like this shared housing thing. I'm sticking with it. But it could be an option for people in that.
Any other questions from the commission members? Again, thank you again for your presentation, and you will be available afterwards for questions from our audience.
Sure.
You need to do that. Great, I appreciate that so much. To do.
Gary, do you want my motion now?
Absolutely, Bob.
Okay. I move that the Commission on Aging approve the Housing Committee work to date, and you've heard it, I think, in this presentation, and that you authorize the committee to continue to assist the Portland Shared Housing Program in establishing a shared housing program in Clark County to include conducting a community and social service agency awareness project regarding this new and upcoming program for Clark County. And here.
Good.
It's written on the bottom of that. So
you are too prepared here, Bob. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Okay.
Can we have a discussion?
Yes, of course. Any discussion, please?
So I do have some reservations, and I do have some concerns because you don't have a tried and true program over in Portland yet, and you haven't addressed those. While I think, you know, the need is there, I have, and I'm wondering how my other members feel, is to have a better work plan, to have a better business plan, to come over here and work and see what, you know, our legal system can do, our networking groups can do, our mediators and things like that, and see what you can get them to buy into before we put out I want to see what vested. I'm not saying that we won't, that the community is not ready for this, but I need to see something from the community, just from the aspect of what I do on the commission and my work. So I do have my reservations in that part. Doesn't mean that we can't entertain that in another 3 months and see what has worked out. The other part of it that really, really worries me is, like Randy said, the vulnerable adult, but the fee that is going to be charged and how you guys are going to sustain yourself. And if you go to work with people in the social services, I know for our state, they're not going to, A, let their caseworker do what Bob would love them to do. And so I just need some more tried and true data collection, a better business plan for me. So that's my opinion and to the rest of my members.
Any other comments from board members?
I would like to go and follow right up with Lisa on that. I think having a solid business plan, really need to see that. I will be the first to say I'm a little skeptical right now. Then I need to have a little bit more time, I think, to warm up to all of this. It's a lot, and I think that we need to, we definitely need to see a business plan. We definitely need to see how this will work with our other agencies that we have in Clark County that might be able to assist, you know, work a partnership, start working a partnership together, you know, before we really dive off the deep end on this whole thing. I tend to go and say I come from the if it sounds too good, you know, you really have to question it, and so that's where I'm at right now. That I'm really questioning it. It sounds great, and I would love to continue working on this, but I think that we need to be, as a commission, we need to be cautious and take very, very small steps in how we proceed forward with this whole thing.
Okay, and I think that, let me re-look at the motion for us, and let's see if we can take a look at that. I certainly understand the concerns that the commission members have with the business plan and that sort of thing. But what we're doing is we're going to approve what the housing committee's work has been done to date. And I think that that's specific enough that it's nothing more than approving their work plan of what they have done up to date. And then the second thing is I think that we are just assisting them to establish it. We're not actually doing anything else other than that. And we've already agreed to those resources from the commission on that in the early meetings, and I would like to see us honor that type of assistance that we've said we would provide. So I would urge that maybe we go ahead and pass the resolution with those concerns, that we might want to add something to it that's saying that we need to come back and revisit again in 3 months, if that'll make the commission members feel more comfortable with an update from the Let's Share Housing on how the success is going and how that's doing before we start our kickoffs in January on that one. Would that be acceptable to Let's Share Housing?
Yeah, we're working on the business plan component right now with motor space, though.
Oh, good.
We definitely got all those systems in place. We just can't, outline the thing in its entirety at this point in time.
Well, it's very exciting that you're undertaking such a new adventure on this one, and we all understand that it'll take a little time and work to do that. So if we would, are we okay friendly amending this one, maybe having an amendment to it that we would come back in 3 months? We would approve the work that's done, and maybe, and then in 3 months we'd come back and have a report from them to do the assistance. Is that what you're looking at, Lisa?
Am I just daffy on this? So they've already done the work, and so yeah. I don't understand why I'm approving the work that they already did.
Exactly.
I don't get that one at all. They did it. Yeah. They did it in a great, yeah. Honorable way. They worked themselves to the bone. So I don't understand why I'm approving that. Then the second part of it is I don't understand what I'm approving for the future.
Okay.
I don't get that part. Mm-hmm. And it just could be me, and that's fine, but, you know.
Maybe it's approving the work to date might be a little wording there, but I think we would what we've done in the past with like our other organizations, we acknowledge or support. Maybe we would
I
say
like
we
support
that
or
maybe
assist.
we would probably instead of assist would say we would support the Portland Shared Housing Program in establishing the shared housing program in Clark County. We support that.
I would support the investigation to come back with a business plan, but not to start
I think as a member of the housing committee, what we're really looking for is the support of the COA in going forward with future investigation on this, as opposed to just dropping the project and saying, and I might also add, I agree with several of the members of the COA in that I do not believe that social services, the housing authority, because of the liability aspect of it, are going to be interested in being involved in this program. And I think that as part of the housing committee, we need to talk with those people quickly to feel them out, because I don't want to be going down a rabbit hole that, but I think there's great value in shared housing if we continue
our. If you want to add those specifics, that's fine. All I said in the motion was, approve us to continue working with them. That's all my motion was. Allow us to continue to work.
To explore it more.
And all of the little things that, not little things, the things that have been pointed out will be the things we'll be working on with them.
And you've got to remember, and I'm sorry to interject, and please, with all due respect, there's only two guarantees in life. Taxes and death. Remember when they used to tell you that online banking, pretty soon they'll never be tellers anymore? I remember when I was little. Guess what? and mobile phones. I mean, how many of us still remember all that? So change is scary, but I think it's important to be optimistically skeptic and continue exploring. And I apologize for my attitude.
And could I get your name, please?
Amanda Johnson.
Okay, thank you, Amanda. Normally we don't allow comments from the public until the public thing, but at this point, I allow
it. I'm passionate about this.
Absolutely, and I understand as we all are passionate about it. So if I can get a little consensus here from the commissioners on why what you would consider to be the first step that you would want to have in some type of motion would be to support the shared housing program in Port Clark County, and is that what we're looking for?
Or what we're looking for, supporting further investigation.
There you
that's
go.
That's exactly what I, my intent was.
Okay.
It just didn't say it for me.
You didn't say it.
Okay.
I just said allow us to continue to assist.
Okay, so what to for Robert's Rules of Order or stuff, would you remove
or your motion?
Retake back your motion and your second, and then we'll redo another motion. Is that acceptable, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Karen?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the new motion will be, and someone that understands it a little better than I do needs to approach it. So what would you like the motion to be for this particular project?
Kirsten?
That, I'll wordsmith this. My opinion would be we would drop the first part about approving the work that's been done, because I agree with you on that, the work to date. The COA is supportive of Portland's Share Housing Program in investigating the establishment of a shared housing program in Clark County. I think we would leave it at that.
Period.
And I would second that. And I hope we got it on there. So.
Okay. Yes. Do we have a second?
I second.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion with regard to that? Okay, all those supporting the motion as it was stated by Kirsten, please say aye.
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 No? Any abstaining? Okay, then the motion carries. Thank you again, and we'll look forward to working with you in the future on establishing a full-grown program within Clark County. So I appreciate that tremendously.
Thank you very, very much. Because you've done a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that Michelle's been doing this for more than a couple of years, at least theoretically. So.
Yes, and I certainly want to pass along how I would like to honor you guys for having the vision to do this. And we certainly are supportive in that vision as well. So thank you so much. Okay. We're through with that, and we're coming up right 2 minutes before schedule, so we're almost ready here behind. A couple of open issues before we go into public comment. One is, you guys have all seen the volunteer hours policy and procedure that had been produced by staff, and I would ask that we have entertain a motion to approve and a second, and vote on that, please.
I make a motion to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Quick question, I'm sorry, I'm questioning.
Well, let's go to discussion second. And then
okay, second, fine.
Okay, and discussion.
So like we were talking in our workshop, we do not have to keep a minute by minute.
Right.
We can lump sum it in there and put it in there, and that's not going to be violating any, like somebody's not going to come audit me and say, Lisa, I don't believe you worked 10 hours on that.
I don't believe so. This is a volunteer organization.
I'm with you on that. I'm just asking to be, you know, Kathy and I are over here going, so, yeah. So.
Actually, I will come and audit, probably.
If you get that free time, girl, yeah. I want to talk to you. Yeah, really.
Especially you, Lisa. Yeah.
Exactly.
I probably don't put enough time down.
That's probably true. So the clarification on that for us that we're not here for the public's interest is that sometimes at the end of the month we might be doing several things like preparing memos and telephone calls and doing that. We lump it as an administrative task under one day with one time limit. That's what we're looking at doing. And I think that's extremely is acceptable. I've been doing it on mine. So We've got the motion and the second. Any other further discussion?
Garrett, one comment.
Yes.
In there, it said that this was being used as in-kind for county grants. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We can't be too sloppy about that because the feds will want to ensure that the in-kind that you're presenting is correct.
Okay, so thank you for that comment, Bob, and we'll certainly address that and look at those when they're coming in. So any other comments or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any objections? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. As we discussed in our work session, we have a we need to have an avenue to bring funds in to participate and to pay for costs associated with some programs that we're putting together as a council commission on aging. For example, the telehealth conference coming up, we need to pay for that, and we're needing to do that. We worked out a system for the interim basis, but we also need to come up with some type of interim permanent solution for the council, which is to change our bylaws and our policy procedures that will allow us to maintain a checking account at a bank outside of the county, which is done and we verified has been done before, and that Kirsten has agreed, our Commissioner Kirsten has agreed to serve as the treasurer for that position. So Colette, is one motion for all of that acceptable? So I would entertain a motion to for that, please.
I motion what you said.
For what second. Kirsten writes.
Yeah.
What Kirsten writes.
I mean, that's just too much to go back over.
Okay. The motion is to change the bylaws to allow for a checking account and funding purposes, and change policy and procedures will be developed and coming into play that we'll need to vote on, and that Kirsten Ware will be our treasurer. So we had a motion and a second. Is there any discussion regarding that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any objections? Any abstention? I can't even talk today. Abstaining?
You're fine.
You're fine. Okay. So that motion passes. Thank you. Our next work session will be October 15th at 3:30. We'll be talking about the telehealth event update and path forward, as well as Rules of Road by Chris Cook. So we'll look forward to doing that. And we now open it up to public comment. Does anybody have any public comments they would like to make this evening?
I know the things the way you're supposed to do them. So I redid mine. I do apologize.
You're doing good work.
Great. Thank you very much. If there's no comments, I certainly appreciate the audiences and the citizens that come forward to help us. And again, I want to personally thank the Let's Share Housing program. I'm very excited about your visit, and thank you for sharing it with us. So thank you for attending. Appreciate it. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.